coincidentally, I like to call my other godly half, didn't know, it's my husband. His talk is entitled Perspectives of Science Among Asian Americans and Applicable Implications to Reaching the Broader Younger Generations for Christ. That's a really long title.
Hi, my name is Han Song Hong. My friends call me Han, so like a Han Solo. I'm a pastor. I am pastoring a local Korean immigrant church in Fairfax, Virginia, as a cooperative pastor and also as a worship leader. First of all, English is not my first language. I'm still learning. So I ask your generous understanding about that area, okay? As she said, I'm her husband, and when she was doing her postdoc study at Rice University in Houston, Texas, my wife and I, we were engaged in campus ministry, and I met a lot of young people there as a friend and mentor, just talking, listening to them, and sharing my story and listening to their story. And they came from all kinds of background, various nationalities, and perspectives on different human sexuality and different life goals and different worldview. So naturally, I came to be very much interested in this young people's ministry. Now, as you can see on the screen, these are from last year and this year, to 2016 and 2017. This old website talk about the church reality of living young people living the traditional church. And this website, their research or their result are based on one very famous research. Someone previously mentioned that in 2010 and 11, there was a big research about the American church reality concerning young people. It's called You Lost Me Project, by Bara Group, led by David Kinnaman. And I became very interested in that research. And there was also very big research about Korean immigrant faith group. And it's called, going there. Yeah. 2011 to 2012 National Korean American Church Survey in the USA and Canada. It's done by Korean American Immigrant Theology Institution, led by Dr. Sang-Chul Oh. It's over 4,000 Korean immigrant churches were involved in this research. It's a quite big research, and the data is pretty solid. So I compared the result, and here is the findings from two researches about the elements that disconnect young people from their church life. As you can see, from You Lost Me, the church is overprotective, shallow, anti-science, repressive, exclusive, and doubtless. It's interesting that Korean American Church Survey also talk about young people thinking the church is overprotective, shallow, repressive, exclusive, doubtless, but somehow anti-science part was missing. Now, I was fascinated by the fact that that expression is missing, because I know from my ministry experience there's so many second generation Korean American young people, they are science minded and they are pursuing science related career. And that's their plan. So I was wondering why that expression is missing. So my question became, okay, what is there then the perspective on science? And as one of my doctorate study for at the Dallas Theological Seminary for pastoral theology, one of my studies was finding a local church young people, what are their thoughts about, you know, the disconnecting aspect of their church life from you know, their faith and their relationship with their first generation. So I did a small version of my own research at a local Korean church. And, you know, during that research, I also wanted to see their perspective on science also. And this is just one of the sample questions to see the indicator their perspective on science. And the question is like this: what is your personal opinion about the theory of evolution that you learned from the school? And 50% of participants say, well, I think it's very negative. It's very interesting. And 20%, yeah, I don't think it's good. It's, you know, I think it's very negative. I mean, negatively. And 20% says, oh, well, I don't think about it much. Just, it is what it is. And only 10% of the participant, yeah, I think that makes sense. So isn't it interesting? And also, this morning I met a gentleman who teaches physics at Wheaton College. And he said that, I have a lot of Korean students. And it's interesting that they are pretty much interested in science, yet when it comes to biblical perspective, they are very much conservative. That was his observation also. Conservative, yet the studies reveal that 80.3% of church-going young people, they leave their church life after high school. That is the reality. And when they were asked, what is the biggest reason for you to leave the church life? This is their answer: the lack of hope and vision for their spirituality. What does that mean? And how can it be interpreted in a local setting? So I asked some more questions to my focus group, and this is their answer. Well, we feel that the first generation leadership, their authoritarianism is so prevalent in the church, and also there is a big cultural disconnection between first and second generation. And because of this feeling, the teens think that they cannot ask certain questions like evolution, sexuality, etc. in the church, meaning they don't feel safe to ask that kind of question in the church setting. And also, they think that because of the first generation's closed mindset, it's okay for first generation to have a fixed idea, that's fine. But the problem is that they have this closed mindset toward other people who have different idea. Because of that mindset, we don't think a fair dialogue will happen. That was their perception about the first generation. And here was my small finding from the focus group. The second generation Korean American teens, their seemingly conservative expressions on some theological aspect does not mean that they are free from having the same struggles, conflicts, and questions when it comes to science and faith as other teens do. So when someone expresses that, well, I have a little bit of a conservative idea about biblical aspect, that does not mean that that person is not struggling with many questions in his heart. This is what David Kinnaman claims about the cultural reality of all communities in contemporary society. Science has come to define our culture. Many scientists today enjoy rock star status, and scientific single vision, scientism, has come to dominate our culture, and even questioning the authority of science with teens is dangerous. Meaning, the teens, in their heart, they believe that science speaks as it is. So, in one sentence, science is shaping young adult perceptions of the church. That is the reality, cultural reality of modern times. And here is church reality. This left side from your position. In 2008 and 2009, from Bana Group, this is a research, the church youth group, 52% of youth group members, they are science-minded students. They want to seek life, career, you know, science-related area. Compared to that, youth leaders, youth pastors, youth group directors, dealing with science-related subject, teaching about science and faith relationship, only 1%. See the balance? It's pretty much unbalanced, the church setting. Now here is the very reality of the church. The church is losing too many young scientists, science-minded young people. Some science-minded young people, they just try to compartmentalize their spiritual pursuit away from their career. Or some young people, they have this resentment towards church for forcing the choice between science and faith. We just heard about the reality. And also some young people who are trying to reconcile science conviction and their biblical faith conviction, they often feel misunderstood by both secular scientific world and also from conservative Christians. You know, traditionally people think that it is the college intellectual challenge then makes young people to make the decision to leave their church life. But interestingly enough, many studies show that most teens in Korean immigration church case, as we talked about, over 80.3% of these young people, they make that decision before they graduate high school. So it's not just college education. When they are in their middle school and high school, they already make that decision to leave their parents' church or even their church life. And this actual execution only happens after the high school graduation. It's very interesting. So how do we reconcile this with mission of the church? Say we come out and talk about it as a science perspective.
So we're just tag teaming a little bit. So not really, because he just gave you one slide. Or two slides. But that's okay. I take what I can get. So as Han mentioned, as many of our speakers have mentioned, it's a reality. It's a cultural reality. And so this is a paraphrase from something that David Kinnaman had said in his book, that maybe the church mission should be to develop young leaders who can capably serve in the scientific age, but not be so habituated to scientism that faith becomes untenable. And so I just wanted to share 3 points. Three points that I've found very helpful for me, and you might have found it helpful in your own lives as scientists in congregations, and some shared by literature as well. The first one is to initiate involvement of the church leadership. I kind of had to, given the circumstance, but I think, as many of you might have faced, many pastors don't know the reality, and they don't know the causes, and they don't know the problems, and so engage the pastors, engage the leadership, and I encourage all of our fellow scientists to make them your partners and become involved on this issue. And then the second thing is constantly make yourself available for questions. One of the things that I always do when I started going, when we start a new church, is to make the youth know that I am a scientist and I'm here to answer questions. And for the first couple weeks or months, nobody will come up. But inevitably, over time, somebody will secretly, and secretly is being the key word, secretly come up and ask me a question, right? How do I deal with this? And so forth. And so I'm sure you have all experienced that. But if you haven't, please try to make yourself available that way, because there are people who are afraid to ask, and that's a scary part. The third thing is what David Kinnaman had said, is to turn anti-science into stewardship, calling, and mission, is that we all have the responsibility to channel that anxiety and that anti-science perception into their own calling as we ourselves have grown into. So those are the three points, and Han's going to continue sharing from a pastor's perspective some suggestions.
So here are my suggestions for church leaders. First of all, develop rapport. The Bible says in the book of Mark 3:14, He, Jesus, appointed 12 that they may be with him. Even incarnated Savior, he needed someone to be with, not to be lonely. This morning, while I was having a breakfast, I met a wonderful another gentleman. He is 85 years old, retired geologist. And I asked him, "Sir, how did you come to Jesus Christ personally? What made you to make that decision?" And he told me, "I grew up in the church background, and I had this personal conflict as I grew up, but it's about 20 years ago when he was 65 years old. I met some people who are very happy about their faith, and they invited me and they talked with me. And that moment I realized that my faith doesn't always have to agree to my scientific conviction to have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. After realizing that, I made my personal decision to invite him into my life as my Lord." That was his powerful testimony. So, I was reading this book. It's from Arbinger Institute. The book title is The Anatomy of Peace. And the book suggests how to build up the right relationship with other people at home or at work. And if I may translate it into the church setting, the pastors and church leaders, we need to realize that young people, they have their own calling for their generation. They are the very powerful evangelists for their generation. And also, the church leadership need to develop personal intimate relationship, not only with these young people, but actually someone who can influence them, like their parents, and their friends. And also, the church leadership need to build the personal intimate relationship with the young people themselves. How? Here is one of my suggestions. Invite them in the process of making the decision, the church decision. Inviting young people, and then listen to them and learn what do they think, what is their perspective, what is their interpreting and understanding about the reality of life. And then we can have a moment to teach them and communicate what we think. And if possible, we may have a chance to correct if there is anything seems to be going in a wrong way. And even when we do that, church leaders, not with a harsh attitude, but with humbleness and respect. The other suggestion is articulate communication. Fred Craddock, one of very well-known preaching scholar, Bible scholar, he said this when he was talking about the purpose of preaching: our task Christian Messenger's text is not just to say the word, to tell the truth, but to get the truth heard, to effect a new hearing of the word among those who have been repeatedly exposed to it. Well-known Christian apologist, Dr. Ravi Zacharias, he talked about three stages of truth communication. The first one is argument. It's like a going into the front door, a logical explanation through reasoning. And the second stage is art, like music, painting, stories, drama. And those are for illustration of the very logical truth explanation. And then the third stage is what he calls tabletop. It's for application. He pointed that for so long, the traditional churches have lost the beauty of argument, logical explanation through reasoning. And they have depended only on the second and third stage, art and table talk. So because of that, young generation, young Christians, they have lost the taste of having faith in reasoning. Lastly, serve people, not just the cause. In the book of Acts 10:36, the Bible says this, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. And when we experience this peace, even when we are not forced by other people, we automatically confess that Jesus, He is my Lord, and He is my Savior. So here, to make a long story short, get to know the young people in the church and help them to think well and let grace and truth work together. Thank you. This is my presentation.
Questions?
Yes, sir. Just a comment. I'm startled by how much the four of us speakers gave the same message from different perspectives. Right. It was incredible.
Credits to ASA Planning.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Do you have an idea in Korea how many young people are in the church?
From my observation and my hearing from other my colleague pastors, very similar. It's increasing. Young people leaving the church. And the problem is also the same. The young people, how they feel about the traditional church. Even though they are speaking the same language, yet the problem is the same. Isn't it interesting? Yes, sir.
So Dana's story is one that I have heard a lot of people who go to the high school, get the high school college transition, walk away from the faith, then eventually come back in some form. Is there any data from these studies that shows any of these students coming back later?
Yes. Traditionally, the church leadership had this data that after young people leaving the church, and then when they get married and having kids, then they will come back. And that was true, but right now the studies show that that is not true anymore. They do not come back to their faith community anymore.